Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered. Unbothered. Unbothered.
Impermeable. Unbothered. Impermeable. Unbothered. I'm the people's champ. Obama. And you don't understand. Melania. Permeable. Unbothered. Sick. Allergic to the con artist. Fake woke. An imposter. Only real ones up in my roster. Like Junior C. That's my
Happy Tuesday, everybody.
Happy Tuesday.
That was so enthusiastic. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I could just feel the enthusiasm.
That's how my Tuesday is going.
Oh, lovely. That's lovely. Lovely. Well,
how's it going?
Wonderful. I don't know where all this enthusiasm is coming. I mean, I just like this all the time. I just can't help myself.
You have all my enthusiasm.
Oh, I got enough for everybody. I have enough for, oh, I see Daddy. There we go. I see you.
I see you too.
Hello.
Hello, family. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent. Supreme, to be exact.
Sounds good to me. Sounds good to me. So I see we have an interesting topic today, and I don't know how I feel about it. I know how I used to feel about it, but I don't know how I feel about it anymore. So, and there is a song before. Now, I'm going to say the topic, and then I want to play the song, because this is a song that I wanted to play on the last episode. But it actually goes a lot better with today's topic, so I'm glad that it was not the correct one. So today's topic is now this is specifically this title because of something that we saw on social media recently that I was like, oh my goodness, that's definitely something that we need to talk about. The title of today's show is Cardi B Black? Now the reason why it's specifically Cardi B is for two reasons. The first reason, actually it's three reasons. The first reason, and the one that was primarily what sparked this conversation, was Lizzo. If you don't know who Lizzo is, don't even ask. Just go and Google her and listen to Truth Hurts and just watch her music video, and she's amazing. But she was one of the number one, her song was number one. So she was on a list of other black women that were the only black women to make this number one list. And on the list is like Beyonce, Rihanna, and Cardi B was on the list. And all of the comments, like nobody was even congratulating Lizzo. All of the comments were Cardi B's not black, Cardi B's not black, almost every single one. And like this was on Lizzo's actual page. So instead of people congratulating her, the only conversation that people were having was, is Cardi B black? Now, people have said, oh, Cardi B is Spanish. First of all, that's a whole other topic. But a lot of people don't realize that Cardi B's mother is from Trinidad. So she's not even completely of a Spanish-speaking background, even though I don't know. But I know that that's considered more of a British along the lines of Jamaican and, you know, that type of thing. So half her father's Dominican and her mother is Trinidadian. Some people have said that Cardi B said that she is not black, but that's the top. I haven't heard her say it, and all I've ever heard her say is talking about being a black woman. I've never heard her say it. Other people said she said, like, all these other things, but I've never heard her say it. But that was the main reason why it was specifically to her, because not only, like, it's a conversation about our people that are, like, a Spanish-speaking background black, French-speaking background, Portuguese-speaking background, are they considered black? But not only that, if Cardi B was like a Mara Negra color, would that make people view her more as a black woman or Afro Latina? Is it because she's fair skinned? And if you see her hair, she definitely has. She doesn't have straight hair. Like you couldn't mistake her hair specifically for, unless she straightens it. Her hair is definitely, you know, of a more natural texture. So the question is Cardi B black? Because for a number of reasons, because of how she feels about herself, because of the fact that her mother's from Trinidad, and the fact that our Spanish-speaking Americans and French-speaking and Portuguese-speaking Americans or non-Americans of color considered black people. So that was the long, short version of it.
You know what's so crazy about this topic is, why does it even matter if somebody's identifying as something? Why does it have to be broken off? And that goes back to united, you know, they stand, divided they fall. People are trying not to be African American. Therefore, they're saying, I'm not black. I'm from Jamaica. I'm not black. I'm Dominican or Puerto Rican or Cuban or, you know, if we all look at ourselves. But it's so funny because I actually met Cardi B's mother.
What? How is that?
It was just randomly. Like, it was so random. I was getting my makeup done in a MAC store. And she came over and she's like, oh my God, your makeup is beautiful. Like, she was just like so nice. And then the makeup artist was like, you know, that was Cardi B's mother, right? I was like, what?
That's crazy.
She was complimenting me. And this is, you know, somebody. And this is when she was famous. This was not too long ago.
That's crazy.
And I was like, that's so funny. And her mother clearly was of Caribbean or African American, or however you want to say, like, the mother was not what people think that she is. And you know, and this is personal to us because we get it all the time that,
oh God,
you know, that our mother looks a certain way, they think she's a certain way, and then she opens her mouth and people are like, shut up.
But people can't, because it's people, like, don't even hear the accent sometimes. Like, people don't, wait, is she there, Daddy? Is Mommy there?
Yeah.
I'm here.
Say something so we know you're Jamaican, Mommy.
It's really hard to say something when
you put her on a spot. Don't put her on a spot.
Wapnin family. Wapnin.
No,
that's
you. You know it sounds serious when she said, go get some to catch the door. Like, what? Catch the what?
Like, what is that? What does that even mean?
To get something to hold the door open, to ajar it.
Like a stopper.
Yeah. No, I know what it means. Like, I was being sarcastic.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's
hilarious.
Well, you know, I understand, and, you know, then we'll play the song, because I'm interested in the song, to hear what it is. But it's just a very interesting subject. It's something that I think that we all have to be very serious about, and this is why knowledge and wisdom is so very important. This is why we have to understand the difference between the word Negro, black, nigger, Moor, you know, African-American, African-Latina, African Latino. We have to understand what it is that we're talking about. First of all, one of the first islands that was passed was when Cristobal Colon, or who they call Christopher Columbus, first came into the Caribbean area. He came upon an island and saw three majestic mountains. And he called the island, because of those three mountains, he called them Trinidad.
Oh, wow.
So Trinidad, remember the Spaniards were here long before anybody else. Everyone's talking about 1619 with much respect to the African presence here. But it also has to be made aware of the fact that by 1505, Spaniards were bringing Africans to the Caribbean. We get caught up in 1619 because that's when countries such as the Holland or the Dutch and the British, even the French with the Huguenots came into the country. But the reality is Africans have been brought, and the original Africans brought by the Spaniards were the Moors that the Spaniards were stealing their land, and so to be able to take their land and their property in Spain, they uplifted them and brought them into the Caribbean and put them on the islands so they could claim their land in Spain. And so we have to understand history. And again, it goes back to something Kondike said earlier about the importance of the conversation. I believe it's important only for us to clear the air. But as it relates to us moving forward as a family, the conversation is futile. It doesn't make any sense. But in order to make sense of something for us who don't know our history, or for people who don't know history, it becomes important to look at Cardi B's mother and understand, okay, now she's from Trinidad. Okay, now what's the difference between Trinidad and Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic and Jamaica and Haiti and South Carolina? What's the difference?
Both of them, and also the European country that colonized you. So you're basing your entire history and your culture on people that owned you. Like,
and
that's not,
you're also
that's
identifying
not good...
with, you're also identifying with the language in which they spoke.
Exactly.
Because when you think about this hemisphere, the first language spoken in this hemisphere that was not indigenous was Spanish. And it remained that way for a very long time until other countries of Europe joined in the enslavement process. Because the reason why Spain and Portugal were on the waters in the first place was because black people, Africans from North Africa, taught them how to build boats and how to do navigation. And most of them learned by being on boats of black people. What some folk don't realize is that one of the boats that Cristobal Colon came to this part of the world was, you know, you get the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. One of them was owned by twin African brothers, the Pinzon brothers.
Wow.
They came to America with Columbus because they had been here before. Look at Trump. And understand, he is a reflection of what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a people. I'm speaking of peoples of European descent in particular, but even those black folk that follow behind them, we're dealing with liars, cheaters, and stealers. We're dealing with ignorant people who lie. And when they get caught in a lie, what do? They tell another lie. They never fess up to the truth. They can't. That's why Native Americans call them forked tongue.
Ooh.
A fork don't have two prongs. It has four prongs. Don't know the truth if they tripped over it. So this is who we're dealing with. And as a people, we've got to become wise and smart and chart our own destiny and stop depending on other people. Is Cardi B black? Of course she is, but we'll talk about that. About her. She could have been a student of mine. I taught in the Bronx for 31 years. She may not have been in District 9 where I taught specifically, but I visited a lot of schools in the Bronx. I was part of what's interesting is I was part of the DARE program that was developed by the police department. And what the police used to do is that the police officers that were part of the DARE program in the Bronx used to bring me with them. They would pick me up at home, or they'd pick me up in my office, and we'd go to a different school and we'd talk to the children. I used to be a part of that program. So I visited many schools in the Bronx in many different ways. and I could have very easily been in the classroom looking down at Cardi B.
Yep.
And the way she is, I have known so many wonderful, beautiful, intelligent young sisters just like her. And I just think we got to wake up and celebrate people's success no matter what language. If you are melanated and we know you melanated, you part of the family. That's all we got to deal with and move on with that.
I don't know if people are going to get it. I don't even know what the, I don't know what the real issue is.
Divide and conquer.
But why don't we get it though?
Because we have been so inbred. This is a cycle. I've come to realize this is a psychological thing. I really have. It has to do with psychology. When you mess with someone's mind from a child, see, the other thing is we've been conditioned. And one of the things for our community to understand is to Google slave breeding, the breeding of Africans. In the early 1800s, when slavery was forbidden and outlawed, what the people that owned, if you want to use that term, Africans did, is they began to breed the Africans that would make more. So instead of stealing Africans from Africa, what they did is they bred Africans here in the 13 colonies. And from the moment these young children were born in infancy, they were instilled with the deepest, most vicious type of psychology of inferiority. Because that's the only way you can control a human being. And so we are still in the throes of this. I love our people. You two always hear me say this. I love our people unconditionally. I understand by matter of degree, by the grace of the Creator, I could have gone that way. I'm very lucky to have had exposure to culture and to Dr. Clark and to my parents and to people that instilled something in me, as so many other brothers and sisters in the project that I grew up in was also exposed to. But I could have very easily fallen into that pit had I not the advantages in my life that I had. And I realized that. And that's why I understand our people and what they're going through. Because I know a lot of people are upset, but I understand what this Popeye's crap is. You know, when you look at that, you sit back and you say, what could be going on in our mind that we would act like this? That we could not go to a supermarket and buy our own chicken because Colonel Sanders copied black folk chicken. Popeye's is a black woman's invention. That's us. We did this. We made fried chicken what it is. So how could we now in 2019 be so removed to not to realize your grandmama probably make better chicken than Popeye's ever could?
Why not just call grandma? Fried chicken.
Hey, my mother made the best chicken in the world. My mother was the. I mean, I'm vegetarian, but when I get the clues of missing chicken, I could only eat my mother's chicken. She was it. Chicken and potato salad. My mother. Every time people from anywhere in the family, from Washington, D.C. to Boston, wherever they came from, everybody brought back some chicken and potato salad on my mother. I know what good chicken is. So that, the point that I'm making more than anything else is when we wonder why, I say love our people unconditionally and understand by matter of degree, some of us have been blessed. Because Malcolm always said, look, Malcolm used to always remind us, don't get cute with yourself just because you got some knowledge. Because remember how you were acting before you knew it.
No, it's true.
And I say that to people, not in those words, but I say that to people like, not, you didn't come out. Everybody's trying to act like they're woke and they're conscious, but there's a lot, like, this is a fad now. This is a thing. Like, when you were doing it before, nobody cared about that. Nobody wanted to do that. Now, all of a sudden, it's making money, and now everybody wants to do it. And people act like they can judge people because of it. But they just jumped on the bandwagon last week. But you judge people.
Yeah. No, it's rough because it's like, if you are somebody who's knowledgeable, why not take that knowledge and try to help others? Why not pass along the knowledge that you get? Because not everybody grew up how we grew up. Not everybody has the ability to, you know, even have the courage to research and do. And they were told their whole life they couldn't. So, therefore, they felt as though they couldn't. So, like we talk about sometimes, slavery is a mind state before it's a physical thing. Yes, we were captured and held against our will, but there are still those who are in a slavery mentality. And we can't pass judgment on them. We just have to, you know, show them the light, show them, you know, what it is that they're experiencing, because ignorance is lack of knowledge, and ignorance is what people, you know, people are experiencing, and we can't judge them for that. Because,
and that's why a lot,
we never know how, if we put in their situation, how we would respond to it or how we would be. So we just have to, you know, judge, let's judge I.
Hey, wait a minute.
Mommy?
That's a good one.
Mommy, where are you?
No, but it's the truth, though. Like, so many people will sit there and they'll be like, holiest of whole, and then they're sitting there judging people. And it's like, in the Bible or in just your everyday life, are you supposed to be judging somebody, or are you supposed to be trying to help them to get to where they need to be? So we just got to keep helping each other, being there and supporting each other. If they're not yet ready yet, okay, I'll come back around for you. All right, I know you're not ready. I know you're not ready, but maybe you'll get to that point. And, you know, you can't save everybody, and everybody will not get to that point, because sometimes ignorance is bliss for them. But for those But for those that have the potential, you know, just be there and support and be patient, because you never know what difference that you're making in somebody's life just by allowing them to be who they are and meet them where they are. And they may, you know, may enjoy and not understand exactly who they are. And then when you open their eyes, they realize, all right, I really need to be doing this. I need to focus on this. I need to, you know, stop focusing on that and just put people in their right path. But, yeah. Did you play the song yet? Sister? Hello?
I'm still here. Sasha, you there?
Uh-oh, maybe she got kicked off.
Oh, I don't know how that happened.
You had a whole conversation.
I was saying things. I was saying it's important for those of us that are knowledgeable about these things and don't fall into the propaganda of a lot of things that separate us. Make sure that we're willing to say things even when it's not a popular opinion. So I'm gonna play the song, and this gentleman is going through a lot because his opinions are not popular opinions. And I think that regardless of whether or not everybody appreciates you, you have to stand firm in the things that you believe in. Even if you're only reaching those 3 out of 100, sometimes the quality of the people that you're reaching are much more important than the quantity of the people, because not everybody's gonna get it. So right now, this is one of my favorite artists that is out right now, because not only is his music amazing, he is also a person that when he says things, it makes you want to be better. So I'm going to play the song. This is the song that I wanted to play last week and had actually played. I ended up playing one of my first favorite songs, but this is the song that I feel like really pertains to us making it and doing better, and regardless of what boat stop you were dropped off at, it's important that you come together. And that's the only thing that I am recommending. I know that there's people that believe that only a certain group should get this and a certain group should say things like that, but I'm not for that at all. I am for people of color, regardless of where that boat dropped you off and regardless of which European country colonized you, where you were dropped off, what matters is that you come together and we realize that there's not a single difference. Because if I learn Spanish, it's going to be the same way. What's the difference between me and a Puerto Rican if I learn Spanish? Absolutely nothing. Because I don't know if it was the Dominican Republic or Puerto Rico where they say they needed the blood of the, I think it was Dominican Republic. The governor, somebody said, allegedly said that they needed this either Dominican or Puerto Rican blood, like it's different than everybody else's. Our blood is the same. It's not like if you were born, like there's no difference. We're still from the same. So, and people will disagree with me, and I've got to discuss with people all the time. And if they want to wallow in that pit of anger, that's their business. But I'm not for that. So I'm going to play this song, and it's really like listen to it from the beginning to the end and listen to what he's saying. Don't just listen to what he's singing, but listen to what he's saying, and then we'll be back in a second.
All right now.
Yeah. I go for the record, I don't just go for the medals, bro. Niggas used to know that we stronger than the devil, bro. Since I bury Papa in the village with a shovel, bro. Every move is bold, ain't no time for being subtle, bro. In the face of evil, I can find the needle, haystack. Could have freed my people if this weed was legal way back. Hope I'll find the wheel of misfortune, but I ain't play that. They come round and pat us down, but I ain't say jack. I escaped the trap, I escaped the cubicles, bro. I escaped the job, I dropped the funerals, bro. And I beat the case, and I beat the chase, wow, wow. Can I keep the pace, can I keep the pace, I don't know. I escaped them trying to bleach a nigga's brain. Could've went to Wall Street, instead I built up my own lane. Rather have a street in my own name. A money with my face on it, like I'm Prince Akeem. You're not gonna see me flouting in these days on time. You see, the days of the Oyibo man are numbered like football jerseys. We now know that all of our suffering and smiling has been worth the wait. My nigga, who knew? Who knew that that boy from Enugu with the boo-boo on his knee back then was acting like a poodle on a leash? One day he'd have to learn the juju on the street. Staring at that like, is your shooters gonna squeeze? Please, as a little boy slanging chains back in Chinatown, thinking to myself, I'ma build it like a kind of town with my wealth. And I pray that I'm the brightest sound that you ever felt. I'ma take a million flights around till that shit is felt. That either way, ayy, that's no piece of cake, ayy. That's that toll online that live inside the tree all day, ayy. That's that he so gay, ayy. That's that she so fake, ayy. That's that insecure, ayy. That's that Issa Rae.
Hey.
You do you, me do me, so long as you don't fuck with me.
I believe it is time for an African people's powered highway. A highway that would connect the diaspora and the motherland. A global highway for African people all over the world to rediscover themselves, to remember them. The only thing that unites black people globally, the only thing we all have in common is that we are from Africa.
That is one of my favorite songs. The video is amazing, and the song is amazing, and the things that he's saying in the song, and like that's what starts the album off. And what's interesting is that it's called Worth the Wait. But weight is spelled W-E-I-G-H-T. So everything that you're going through, everything that you're holding on to, all the things that feel like it's so heavy, even with black women who feel like they're holding up the entire community, with black men who feel like they're holding up the community and they're holding up themselves and they're trying to be there for their family. Everything that you're going through is worth the weight on your shoulders. And one of the things that he says is the time of the I'm not going to say it correctly, but I'm going to try. Oyibo man is numbered like football jerseys, and he explained in an interview that Oyibo man is a white man. So he's saying that on the planet, their days are numbered. Because, you know, with everything that's going on, whether it's evolution, whether it's the inability for them to produce the correct amount of children, they're becoming outnumbered, and their days are numbered because of what's going on. So if their days are numbered, and if we're going to be successful, if, like, a lot of people, and I'm not saying that I feel this way, but there's black people and people of color that want white people to not be here anymore. But if they're not here anymore, if you're not ready, what difference does it make if they're here or not, if you're not ready to be what you need to be? So that's, you know, what I got from the song. We have to realize that for whatever is going to happen in the present and the future, if we're not ready for it, it doesn't matter what happens. If we get like one of the conversations about being black is that you have to be an American descendant of a slave, ADOS, A-D-O-S, and that is something that black people are leeching onto, and it's a conversation that people are having because it's a conversation about reparations. And I understand the purpose of it, and I understand the need for it. I have different feelings when it comes to that, but one of the feelings is what's going to happen, like, if you want reparations, what's going to happen when you get it? What's going to happen when black people get reparations? We saw what the hell happened when Popeyes came out with chicken, with a chicken sandwich, and everybody was on the line. And I know I'm going to get attacked for this, but I'm going to say it anyway. We were on the, and there's nothing wrong with enjoying yourself, but if we were enjoying ourselves and prepared for the present and the future, it'd be one thing. I'm all for it. Like, if I was still eating chicken, I probably wouldn't have waited on line, but I would have went to the one over here that doesn't have a line and got a chicken sandwich if I was still eating chicken, but I'm not. So I didn't get to indulge in the fantasy of this Popeye's chicken sandwich. But if we're not prepared, if we're not prepared for reparations, what the hell is the point of us even getting it? If we're not going to do it, if we're not going to take it and do it the right way, why even have it? And we know what's going to happen. The moment that you give us reparations, we know we deserve it. We know that our ancestors were supposed to get 40 acres and a mule, which is, it was inflation, is a lot more now. But we know what we deserve. But the moment that it happens, like, if there's any amount of money that's given to black people and considered reparations, the moment Colin Kaepernick tries to protest police brutality, which is still going to happen, the moment that somebody tries to say something, it's still going to happen. The moment that these things happen, oh, no, Negroes, you got reparations. You can't fight anymore. And that's exactly what's going to happen. So until we are mentally ready for these things to happen to us, we're fighting for it, but we're not preparing ourselves. I'm not telling us not to fight for it, but we have to simultaneously be preparing ourselves to get reparations and the things that we deserve as well. Because we may deserve it. Like, I saw a post about Angela Bassett, and they had posted about her performance in Waiting to Exhale and about how she got slighted for the Oscar and for all these awards. We know that. We see Angela. We know her. But we also know that their word doesn't really mean anything. We have to start believing our own word and our own feelings over everybody else. And that's, in my opinion, that's a lot of what this song was about when it comes to being worth the wait. We're waiting, but we also need to take that wait and make it worth it. And some of us are not doing that because some of us would rather complain and do nothing than complain but actually move to try to do something.
You know, one of the things that I am, and your mother, are so proud of you, Sasha, and Kandike, and Heru. The one thing that we are proud of you the most is your work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was listening to that song, Worth Your Wait, I didn't realize that that's how we spelled it, which is interesting because I,
yeah.
I wouldn't have known that unless you said that.
Uh-huh.
And the other thing is that, you know, earlier you were talking about, like, when I used to bring you, you know, Conda K, when you were real small, and I used to go out to do a presentation. I'm remembering one I did in Newark.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought Sasha. Sasha was about maybe 4 or 5 years old, just about ready to go to school.
I know this story.
And they were filming me. And every time the camera was on Sasha, young sister was sitting in a different seat in the room. But you would have to know me to know that my eye was on Sasha the whole time I was talking, because my greatest concern was to make sure that she was safe.
Ooh.
And so in the video, and this is a video cassette, this is before DVD, you'll see me looking all over the room. You may think I'm looking at a lot of people. I'm not. I'm looking to see where Sasha's in the room. To make sure she's safe.
I still can't say so.
But yeah, I know. But I mean, that's the melanin that you have in your energy system.
I know.
But the point that I want to make is this: you all have watched the work that I've done over the years. Hidden Colors changed things for me. It brought me front and center to a community that may not have known of me, particularly the younger brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And the point I'm making is Worth Your Wait plays another part, because as I was thinking about the song and what he was saying, I remember my mother and what I wanted when I was younger, because I've been in this as long as I can go back. I can remember I was part of something to improve the conditions of myself and our community. That's what I've done all my life. That's all I know.
Yep.
In one way or another, in whatever job I had. And my mother used to always say, Skip, that's my nickname, Skip, the door isn't open right now, because she saw my frustration. The door isn't open right now. But what you have to do is continue to get yourself together so that when the door does open, you'll be ready to walk in. So when you talk about Worth Your Wait, if you looked at the word W-A-I-T, it is also applicable, because I know for a fact this work that I've done, I have done for years. And you could have thought that I may never be able to reach what I was after. But little by little, I've been able to do some of the things that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And so Worth Your Wait is more than that. And what we have to do, going back, is that when you have a work ethic, you work because you understand the importance of excellence in everything that you do. You don't make excuses as to, okay, people aren't doing what I want them to do, or things ain't happening the way. You still plow at it. You still move ahead at it. You still create. You carve your path. You let no one get in your way. You let no one tell you what you can and cannot do. You just keep doing it. And believe me, with my experiences now, it is worth the wait.
And you know,
and
another,
that becomes
another,
important.
Yep. And another way that you can look at it is, it's worth the wait, meaning it's worth you fully understanding your abilities and who you are. It's worth, like, everything. Nowadays, people need that instant gratification. So, you know, we have to realize that sometimes we have to wait to fully understand exactly who we are. It's not going to come to you overnight, and we have to realize that we're worth it. You're worth it. We have to realize our worth. So that then comes into play as to, you know, do people fully understand their worth? Do they understand that they're valuable, or can they be bought by price? Can they, you know, I had a conversation with a few of my coworkers, and I was saying that no amount of money can buy my me giving any waiver to my morals and ethics. There's no amount of money that somebody can shove in my face and say, do this for me. I cannot be bought, because my weight is worth that much more than anybody can even offer me. And it's like people don't fully understand how much weight they hold, how much weight that they are, and how much weight that they're worth. So there's many, and I love when a song can be interpreted many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Because that song, because depending on your situation, depending on what you're going through, depending on your experience, and depending on your age and you know, wisdom, that song can mean many different things to many different people.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar to my favorite song, Never Would Have Made It. But I just have so much admiration. Ever since we started on the topic of Jadena, and I was doing a little
mm-hmm.
bit more research, I was like, oh my God, like, this is like I really admire who he is, what he represents, and what
mm-hmm.
he's trying to accomplish in his life.
I have
and
no
not,
idea.
I know. And there's not that many people out there that hold those values, that hold
yep.
those thought processes, and that is willing to speak up
and
you
cares
know,
about
and
everyone,
be proud.
Cares about,
yeah.
And cares about the success of every black person in the country. There's so many black people in this country that only care about a specific subset of people and
well,
don't
no, they
actually
only,
care about black people. They care
they
about
care
specific
about
black people.
They only
but,
care about
but they
themselves
also care about
and
people
what,
that are like them. He cares about people. He cares about black people unconditionally. There are many black people in this country that call themselves black leaders and call themselves woke and conscious that are conditional lovers of black people. And I don't condone conditional lovers of black people ever. I don't care what you do in your bedroom. I don't care who you date. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you were born. If you are a black person and you are dedicated to the progression of black people, that is all that matters. If you are a conditional lover of black people, you don't actually love black people. You love your image of black people, and you don't actually love the person or the people.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these people that put conditions on blackness, they don't matter. If you are a black person and you put conditions on black people, you are even worse than white people, because we expect you to care about us. We know that white people don't care about us, but when we see a black person, we expect them to care. So all of these conditional lovers of black people, you're all worse than white supremacy. And I'm saying that, and you can quote me.
This is going in tonight.
Quote me.
No, but it is.
No, but it's true. It's just disgusting. The things that I see in the comments that people make, people should be. There are some of us, and there are some of us that are making money off of making other black people feel bad about themselves, and they should be ashamed of themselves, and we should be ashamed of following them. Because they are a disgrace, and the people that follow them are a disgrace.
And you know, it goes back to Kondike's statement. Because if you know your worth, if you know
yeah.
your worth, there is nothing anyone, be they whatever culture,
mm-hmm.
could say or do to you that could alter who you are, who you
mm-hmm.
perceive yourself to be, what your
mm-hmm.
accomplishments can be. That
mm-hmm.
is who succeeds in life. And being around young people and being around children as I have been, it is just important that we instill in our children a sense of what is called self-concept. That's what
mm-hmm.
Dr. Clark told me years after that he and I worked together. Years after. I mean, you all were already born. He told me one time when I was teaching children, and we just happened to be in a conversation. I could have been in, I'm trying to think, it was before 1998, but it was, I was an adult married with children. And he said that the one thing that he wanted to give me Now, mind you, he went back with me since I was 12 and a half. And we, our relationship grew over the years. It just, at 12 and a half, I'm not going to tell you I was up underneath his study. I would say more that when I got close to my late teens going into the military, that he and I really began to grow together more. At least I should say I was growing with him. But he said that one thing that he wanted to give me, as he wanted to give to all of us as a people, is a sense of self-concept. Because once you have a sense of self-concept, there is nothing you cannot achieve that you want to achieve. And I've often thought about that as I work with children, as I work with people, to give you a sense of self-concept. And I think that one of the examples, as it relates to who I am, is that each of you have become a different person than who I am. But you all bring to your occupation a sense of self-concept. Be you a banker or a social worker, or if you work in a program with children, you all bring to your job a sense of self-concept while you're still doing your job. I didn't expect you all to become teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't pushing you all to become teachers. I was just telling you, whatever you do, do it excellently. That was my thing. That's all I cared about.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to get to a point in our community where when you have a sense of self-concept, because wasn't nobody going to tell me I wasn't going to achieve my goals in life.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how it was going to work out. But I was on the case 24/7. I never stopped thinking I wasn't going to achieve my goal, no matter how far away it may have been. And our children have to get that going back to a work ethic. You got to work at it. Even if you work at Crack Donald, be the best Crack Donald worker there. If you work for UPS, if you're a bus driver, whatever you do, be the best. Because when you practice being the best, when you get into your groove, be best. That's what she say. Be best. I don't know what that means, but I would say be your best. But I would say be your best at whatever you do.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to get to that point now. Stop talking. We talk too much. We judge too much. Because I see those comments up on there.
Mm-hmm.
I say, you need to get a life.
That's sad.
You're spending more of your time up in other people's business than you are taking care of y'all.
And they got a
How
lot
you
of stuff going on in their own. They got their own skeletons to worry about. They worried
and
about everybody else's skeletons.
Well, that's why they are in other people's business.
Their time is a flip.
Because they're afraid to look within.
Exactly.
But there are people who are doing magnificent work, and so I salute them for all that they do. Because we're going to get this together.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody's going to get it. Spanish or French or Dutch or Portuguese or Kiswahili or whatever language you speak. Just like the brother said. You know, what binds you together is that you an African.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And if Jadena pop on a certain kind of class, he look like Malcolm X.
Yeah.
No, but he does, though, with that red hair especially.
Yeah. Yeah, the man got that red hair. I downloaded his entire album. When I heard that music last week, I downloaded it on my iPod. I got all his stuff.
It's good, right?
It's excellent.
You can listen to it from the beginning to the end and not get tired of it.
Yeah, it's an excellent piece of work. And then I saw his interviews that you sent me to get ready for last week's program we had. I started looking at his on Sway and then on other
Breakfast
interviews.
Club. Yep.
Hey, the brother making a whole bunch of sense here.
He is. But,
you know
his views on a couple of things are very controversial, so a lot of people have an issue with him. But he is saying things that will uplift the black community. So if we do what you say and focus on a 3 out of 100, it doesn't even matter what other people say. Like, if you really focus on the people that really matter and are actually for all black people, nobody else will matter. And that's one of the hardest things because, you know, even for you, I would imagine that you want to help as many people as you can. But you have to get into your mind that 3 out of 100 is a viable number. And as much as you want it to be more, it's not. And that's just one thing. And, like, even you can look at people and think that they're 1 of the 3, and then they start talking and you realize that they're 1 of the 97. So it really is unfortunate.
How they act.
Yeah, how they act, what, you know, how they treat other people. But I think that, you know, the deeper I get into understanding the importance of what I need to accomplish, the more I view people that can elevate my consciousness. Like, I think that it's really amazing that, like, even if I go on YouTube and I just pick a random video to watch, it will pertain to something that I needed in my life. So I think that, you know, with divine intervention and all these people that are coming together, it's really important for us to realize the signs. And if you genuinely want to be better and to make other people better and you're not stuck in making people angry and all this negativity, there's really a lot going on that we won't see unless we're paying attention. Like those interviews that I watched of his, I don't even know what made me watch the first interview that he had with the Breakfast Club. I don't even remember what it was, but I am so glad that I did because there's a lot of things that were put into perspective just listening to him talk. So I think that it's important for us to recognize around us who is of value for our progression.
Somebody sent me a meme the other day, and it said, you can't change the people around you, but you can change the people around you.
The people around you. Yep. That is the quote of a lifetime. That is so true.
But I'll be honest with you, it took me a little while to catch exactly what they were saying.
Yeah.
Because I was saying, but wait a minute. I just said the same thing twice.
But you get it after a while.
After I said it a couple of times, then it dawned on me, wow, this is powerful. Yeah. You can't change the people around you, but you can change the people around you. And if you find that the people that you are associating with, and I love our people unconditionally now, but my thing is, yo, I don't have time right now for this.
Right.
I have to find the people that are ready to make this move.
And focus on them and give them your energy.
That's bottom line what I'm at right now. And I do know that there are people that can help you, but not me. Not me. I'm at the point now where for our children and this curriculum, I'm working on developing teachers. And I'm not just talking for boards of education. I'm talking about our community who is aware of the principles of education, certain concepts of brain anatomy, how the brain functions, what has happened to us as a people. You know, what has happened to our neurons? What has happened to our priorities as to what it is that we really want in life? And so it comes to a point that when you get to that point where you realize this and you're working towards this, you just do what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I say it constantly because I don't want this to ever be lost. I love our people unconditionally, but there's some of our people, I ain't got time for you. Not right now. Because you need a lot of help. Because if you're looking for love in all the wrong places, there's nothing that I can't direct you to that. Because the only thing I could possibly tell you, if you really want to find the love where it belongs, go to a mirror. Because if you're looking outside for that love, if you imagine that the love that you seek or anything that you seek is outside of you, you don't get it. And there's nothing I can do to help you. And that's what Dr. Clark said the first time I met him. He said, go home, look in the mirror, and tell the person you're looking at, I love you. Mean it. Because if you can't do that, there is nothing I or anyone else can do for you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's real talk.
Wow.
Yep.
And that's what every one of our young people should do and understand.
And I think
you must love yourself.
And that is the foundation of the conversation that we started having. That's the foundation of the topic today. We are separating ourselves and we are saying this person's not this and I don't care about it. This person's too light and this person can't be this because we don't love ourselves. I think that if black people love themselves the way that, if we were as honest with ourselves as the memes, like the memes talk about melanin popping and all these amazing things about being black, but we don't actually believe it. We're trying to convince ourselves on social media and on T-shirts and saying black is beautiful, but we don't believe it. And I think that if we did believe it, if we understood what it actually means to love yourself and to not believe what other people tell you and to not care, and to not care what other people think, whether they're in our culture or out of our culture, these conversations wouldn't even matter because we'd understand that Cardi B is black. Whether she believes it or not is a different story. But we'd understand that if everybody's on a train, one person gets off in Brooklyn, one person gets off in the Bronx, and one person gets off in Queens, you're still a human being. You may be from different areas, but you're still a person. If you're on a boat and the boat drops you off in different places, that doesn't change who you are foundationally. That may change the way you think in your mind, but that doesn't change who you are. We all came from the same place, whether we believe it or not.
I've heard Cardi B say she's black.
I've never heard her say she's black. I've never heard her downplay black women. I've never heard it. People have said that she said it, but I've always heard her say that she was black. Always.
I've heard her say she's black.
Me too.
So I'm trying to figure out where the conversation comes from that says that she's not. And for some of us, we get very upset when people who may be of a different culture, a Spanish-speaking culture, does not embrace their Africanity.
Mm-hmm.
But then why do we complain when they do?
But that's the thing that I will never understand.
It has to be psychological.
That's the only thing.
People are just haters.
That's what I think. Just listen to Waka Flocka. I'm a hater.
Oh, I still have
your brother Heru turned me on to that song when I was driving him to college all those years. He turned me on to that song. I'm a hater.
But it's such
an interesting song. Got a lot of cursing in it, but it's a very interesting song. Because I used to tell him all the time, I don't have a problem with cursing in rap, but let it be directional. Let it have a context. Just don't be cursing to be cursing. You know, I mean, cursing has its place in language because of the nature of the emphasis in the points that you're trying to make.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a hater as a song really does outline how some people feel as it relates to the success of other people. And that's cross-cultural. That's not black folk. That's every folk. If you don't
have a
sense of self-concept, if you have a sense of insecurity and inferiority, you are going to create an atmosphere where anyone else who's working hard for it, hard enough to deserve it, you still gonna hate them because they have it and you don't. You don't want to work hard. And the thing is that other people that do work hard, that are willing to put the time in, while you just wasting time procrastinating, you still hate them. But that's part of the human dynamics of the world we're living in today, which goes back to what you were talking about, instant gratification.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It just don't work that way. Some things take a long time.
It's crazy. But that's honestly the world that we're living in right now.
Yes, it is. Well, look at what's happening around us now. It's exactly what's happening around us now. Look at the people. That is why I say this is such an important time in history for us to take stock in what we're looking at. This is them. This is who they are. This is who they've always been. And I've been shouting it from the rooftops and everybody talking about, oh, times are changing. This is... I said, you're changing. The times ain't changing. You're changing. Because these folk ain't changed. These folk are still 16, 19, immature, angry, vicious human beings who lie, steal, and cheat, and tolerate those that do. They're the same people. Trash. Be they rich or poor, they trash.
Yep.
You know what you do with trash?
Throw it in the
garbage. You throw it away.
Throw it in the garbage.
Because that's not recyclable. That trash is permanent trash. I'm just dropping it. I'm just dropping it.
Permanent
I'm trying.
It's permanent trash.
That's
nothing
it.
You can do with that trash.
Do not go back in the garbage to pick that up saying, oh, something can be done with this. No, nothing can be done. Throw it away.
Burn it all. Like Michael B. Jordan, like Killmonger said, burn it all.
Hey, listen, there's work that we have to do as a people. We have to be very serious. And I go back to your generation. My generation owes it to your generation to somewhat guide. You know, like in Common and John Legend's song, Glory, the song that came out talking about Martin Luther King a couple years back is called Glory, where Common says that it's the old people, it's the elder's guidance and the younger's energy. You know, that combination of the elder's guidance and the younger's energy. That's what
that
we have to do.
Again.
Yeah, Glory. Yeah, it's really a very powerful, and it's the part that Common raps, not when John Legend is singing. The other thing that I'd like to do
amazing,
is, you know, I know this is a bit off topic, but I have to mention the passing of the Honorable Robert Mugabe, the President of Zimbabwe. Who is another very controversial figure. But I just have an enormous amount of respect for that for what that brother did and what he attempted to accomplish for the country of Zimbabwe and to understand politics and how it runs. My one challenge with President Robert Mugabe, I understand what he did. There are some things that he did that was very harsh. He did what he did because his country was in the throes of one of the most vicious. You know, they used to torture Robert Mugabe by you know, like they had those little prongs that they could electrify the body. They could electrify you, send electric shocks through your body.
Oh God.
They tortured him by putting those prongs on his testicles.
Oh, God.
Now, every man out there has just shrieked. Because every man understands how sensitive the sensitive areas of the body are.
Oh, my God.
And think that somebody would apply electric shocks to that part of your body, the pain that you must have felt, he endured. He fought it. He lived through it. And he lived to become president. And he did what he could to ensure that the land would go back into the hands of Africans. And the reason why you hear so many people talking so bad about him was because you're listening to peoples of European descent talking about the fact that he took back the land that they stole and gave it to the African people to have.
Yep.
Okay? So you can't listen to them because they're going to make them look bad. But we have to be smart enough to understand that he did the best that he could under the conditions of being immediately out of the throes of some of the harshest conditions human beings could live in the country that was called Rhodesia. He brought it back to the African name Zimbabwe.
Oh.
But it was called Rhodesia, named after the thief that went to this part of the world and called it Rhodesia, and they named it after him, Cecil Rhodes. So when you hear people got a Rhodes Scholar, if you're black, you shouldn't be too proud of that. I respect the academics it took you to get there, but it ain't nothing to be a Rhodes Scholar. The money that got you that scholarship was built on the murder and mayhem put upon the African people of Zimbabwe. Now, here is one thing that, in my view of Robert Mugabe, here's something I might have recommended, which might be a little difficult for some people. He should have been training an entirely new generation to assume power. There are times, and I did it, so I know what it is, that you got to back up and let the younger generation take over.
Yep.
There's a time that you got to back up, and like the song says in Glory, you know, it's the elders' guidance and the youngest energy. At some point in time, I had wished that people like Robert Mugabe, even Muammar Gaddafi, many people hold on to power too long. There's a point in time when you should give it up and let the younger generation, train the younger generation, as I'm doing now with some of the teachers that contact me and people who are doing programs for young people. I'm now assisting them. Instead of me doing the program, I did programs for over 16 years. You all came to it at the Caribbean Cultural Center. I did programs twice a week. And so I know what it is to be out there doing what you got to do. But there comes a time when you just got to relax. Teach the younger generation how to do it. You guide as an elder and let the younger do the work so that when you step back, they can then take over whatever it was that you were doing. So that's what I would have advised President Robert Mugabe is train the younger generation to take over Zimbabwe. Help them understand what it is that they have to do. You were such a wealth of information. He died at the age of 95. All glory to that brother. I respect him. I love him. I honor him for all that he did for us. Because I remember taking a class at NYU in international politics. And this was in 1973. And I remember that the professor who had a degree in law, I'm talking about a degree in jurisprudence, not just a law degree. He had a PhD in law and he had a PhD in politics. So you would think he know what he's talking about. And he told the class, and I laughed, and he looked at me, he said, "You shouldn't laugh." But I laughed. He said, "Ain't nothing going to happen in Zimbabwe for a couple generations." And I laughed. And 2 years later, Zimbabwe broke. Rhodesia broke. Robert Mugabe stepped into power. Here you think this man know what he's talking about. I'm in class as a student, and I could know. Because Bob Marley has that song called Zimbabwe. The song by Bob Marley called Zimbabwe was the song that the Africans used to play in the bush when they were fighting those your European devils. And the other thing about that song is that Bob Marley, when Rhodesia became Zimbabwe and they lowered the Rhodesian flag and they raised the African Zimbabwean flag, Bob Marley was invited to be and develop a concert in celebration of Zimbabwe. And when Bob Marley got to Zimbabwe, Bob Marley, his plane was red, black, and green. And when he would go someplace, he would circle the area. Huh?
You said his plane? Did you say his plane?
Yeah, he had his own. Yeah, he had a private plane.
Well,
know, it was red, black, and green.
Ooh. And he painted it red, black, and green.
Wow.
And when he would get into, like, a country in the Caribbean, or what he did in Zimbabwe, is that they flew real low. And he would circle the area just to let people see this airplane in the sky, red, black, and green. Everybody knew
wow.
it was Bob Marley. And when he came, the people on the ground began to sing Zimbabwe.
Oh.
Just as, and he said he could hear them sing. That's how deep it was. Now, whether he could hear it, I don't
wow.
know. But they were singing Zimbabwe. And I encourage people, Google Zimbabwe by Bob Marley. And so, you know, I'll stop here because I know I'm off topic. But since it just
okay.
happened, and since Robert Mugabe has really been a hero of mine, no matter what anybody says, I just wanted to mention his joining the ancestors and pay my homage and respect to that brother who understood what it was to be an African.
Well, that sounds good to me to give him some recognition. And we need to do more of that to recognize people, you know, because the song that I'm gonna play next, if I can, the song that I'm gonna play next is, to me, exactly how people feel, you know, exactly how people that are not of color feel. We all think that we're separated from each other. Is everybody still there?
I'm here.
Mm-hmm. We all
okay.
think that we're separated from each other, and we're really not. We may feel like we are,
but when...
Is the echo? Hold on. We may feel like we are, but when other people see us, this is what they see. So in piggybacking off of what you said, Daddy, what you were talking about just now, and in ending our discussion, I think it's also important to realize that there's people that are laughing at us when we're all, and not that it matters that people are laughing, but the point is, like, when we're talking about all these different things that we think is this and we think is that, and a lot of the conversations that we're having don't matter. So I'm going to play this song, and to me, it feels like what we think about ourselves is subjective, and it's everybody feels a different way. We're all saying the same thing, but we're acting like we're not saying the same thing. So does anybody want to say anything before I play the song?
Are we winding down this conversation?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes,
I just want
to. I'm about to play the song and end it.
Okay. Well, the only thing that I want to say is I just give my regards to all of the listening audience, and I thank you for tuning in.
Yes.
And for all the comments that you make, we really appreciate you, and that's why we do it. And Sasha Canis, I really appreciate you and all that you do. Also, keep on doing what you're doing. And I just say, long live the spirit of President Robert Mugabe, one of the greatest Africans to ever live.
There we go.
And I
that sounds good
that,
to me.
I have to say that, Daddy, we appreciate the heck out of you. And if you haven't done so, go get the book, because that book is phenomenal. And it's a must have. It's a must read. And, you know, of course, we continue to support you, Daddy, and everything that you do. And, you know, I just try to envision you. What would Daddy do?
I'm going to bracelet that says that.
There we go. Well, it was spirituality before it was religion.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
So.
And it will be spirituality again once everything is said and done.
Mm-hmm.
It is as we speak. As we speak, it's already manifested.
Absolutely. All right. Well, this has been—it's been great. We'll see you again in 2 weeks, and everybody have a great rest of your week.
You too. You've been real.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You've been regular.
Hotep.
Rich nigga, poor nigga, house nigga, feel nigga. Still nigga.
My name is
still nigga.
Call me,
I like that second one. Light nigga, dark nigga, poor nigga, real nigga. Rich nigga, poor nigga, house nigga, feel nigga. Still nigga. Still nigga. OJ like. I'm not black, I'm OJ. Okay, house nigga, don't fuck with me. I'm a field nigga with Sean Cutlery. Go play the quarters where the butlers be. I'ma play the corners where the hustlers be. I told him, please don't die over the neighborhood that your mama rentin'. Take your drug money and buy the neighborhood. That's how you rinse it. I bought every V12 engine. Wish I could take it back to the beginning. I could have bought a place in Dumbo before it was Dumbo for like $2 million. That same building today is worth $25 million. Guess how I'm feeling? Dumbo. Light nigga, dog nigga, faux nigga, real nigga. Rich nigga, poor nigga, house nigga, feel nigga. Still nigga. Light nigga, dark nigga, faux nigga, real nigga. Rich nigga, poor nigga, house nigga, feel nigga. Still nigga.
My name is
still nigga. You wanna know what's more important than throwing away money at a strip club? Credit. You ever wonder why Jewish people own all the property in America? That's how they did it. Coming at you, freedom, my only hope. Fuck living rich and dying broke. I bought some artwork for $1 million. 2 years later, that shit worth $2 million. 2 years later, that shit worth $8 million. I can't wait to get this shit to my children. Y'all think it's bougie, I'm like, it's fine, but I'm trying to give you $1 million worth of game for $9.99. I turn a 2 to a 4, 4 to a 8. I turn my life into a nice first week release date. Y'all here still taking advances, huh? Me and my niggas taking real chances, y'all on the gram holding money to your ear. There's a disconnect, we don't call that money over here, yeah. Light nigga, dark nigga, faux nigga, real nigga. Rich nigga, poor nigga, house nigga, feel nigga. Still nigga. Still nigga. Light nigga, dark nigga.